Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The COVID-19 pandemic has been part of life in South Dakota for almost a year now, and every week brings new scientific discoveries about SARS-CoV-2. Dr. Chad Turi is a family medicine physician and regional director of clinical quality with the Vera Medical Group, and he joins us today for our weekly update. Dr. Turi, welcome back to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me back. It's always good to talk with you.
Let's talk about the picture in South Dakota right now. We've got more than 86,000 people having received at least the first vaccine, and our numbers are trending largely downward as I'm looking at this. Tell us what the picture looks like statewide right now.
Picture looks positive. You know, those numbers are looking really good compared to where we were a couple of months ago, you know, back in November timeframe. So that's all good. So I think the one thing that I've been telling other people on other venues and even my patients in the clinic is not to, you know, let our foot off the brake here. So I think we need to continue to focus on doing the right things as far as social distancing, wearing a mask, and taking care of ourselves. And we need to do that yet for a little while. You know, as you said, we've had a good rollout as far as vaccines here in South Dakota, but we still got a lot more people to vaccinate before we can kind of let her foot off the gas, like I said.
Let's talk about why things are going well. What parts of things are going well? When we look at mitigation strategy, we had some communities, up their mask requirements. Are more people obeying the mitigating factors? Is it going well because the vaccine rollout's going well? Tell us some of the high points.
I think it's a combination of a lot of those things that you mentioned, Lori. So I think part of it is we're vaccinating people. So, having 85,000 South Dakotans vaccinated certainly makes an impact. And then there's a number of people and a pretty decent percent of the population that has had COVID. So that's going to allow them to have some immunity, and they're going to be less likely to become infected again. And I think the other part of that is a lot of people are still adhering to masking and social distancing. So I think it's a combination of all three of those things.
I was reading an interesting article about why we don't fully understand if once you've had the vaccine, if you can spread it, and just the intensity of people trying to figure that out. What can you tell listeners about once you've received your second vaccine and you breathe that little sigh of relief for yourself, but then a family member perhaps hasn't been vaccinated? Talk to us a little bit. Why are we unsure about what happens in those days after vaccination and your ability to spread it to someone in the community or someone at home?
Well, I think the uncertainty there is because the studies haven't been done yet, at least, you know, in-depth ones and good ones. When we did the vaccine studies, we basically, or I guess the pharmaceutical companies, looked at, are they effective at preventing symptomatic disease? And so people that have been vaccinated certainly still could get COVID and still could be at the ability to pass that to somebody else. And so until we get more clarity on that, I think you're going to still continue to see the same recommendations coming out of the CDC and the South Dakota Department of Health as far as, vaccinating certainly protects you. We know it helps protect the person that's been vaccinated from severe disease, symptomatic disease, and certainly ending up in the hospital and decrease mortality. But we don't know how well it does yet as far as preventing others from getting it and to what extent.
Let's talk a little bit about those vaccines and what we're learning so far. One, we had a question from a listener recently about the myths around vaccines. And one of the myths that they had seen was if you get the vaccine and then you get the disease will be worse. Is that true with any vaccinated disease? Is that true with these vaccines? Have you heard that, or can you debunk it for us?
No, that would not be true. We don't really see that at all with any vaccine. Going back to the studies, once again, patients that are people that received the vaccine had less incidence of symptomatic COVID and had less severity of illness. So I don't have any concerns about getting the vaccine causing increased severity of any type of COVID symptoms. Now, I think the thing to remember is that there's always some degree of correlation, and it takes a little while for that immunity to build up. So, you know, if you get your vaccine on February 1st, you know, it takes a couple weeks to get that immunity. And so you could, in theory, have COVID a couple days later, and you could have a bad outcome with COVID, but it's not because of the vaccine. It's just because the vaccine hasn't kicked in yet.
Right. There was some debate over the weekend on some of the national news channels about national experts saying, hey, we need to kick up the vaccination process and really give more doses for the first-time people and maybe put off some of those second doses. Dr. Anthony Fauci said, no, I don't think that's the way to go. The data that we have says we need to finish these second doses, meanwhile ramping up production so that more people can get vaccinated. Have you been following that? And do you think that we'll stay on this two-dose vaccination administration schedule and that's the best course of action?
Yeah, I mean, we follow those stories, and there's certainly states out there that are taking that approach. I guess here in South Dakota, certainly from a Veris standpoint, and even talking with the other health systems and the South Dakota Department of Health, we think the best approach is to fully vaccinate patients, and that's with both doses of the Pfizer and Moderna products at this time.
Yeah, so no plans to change that in South. If you've gotten the first dose and you're waiting anxiously for your second dose to come up, you probably don't need to fret about that suddenly being pushed off, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. We have had not had any conversations as far as switching, I guess, the way we're trying to vaccinate people at this point in time.
Yeah. Where are we at in the list of people? I know as you watch people on social media post about their vaccines, some of them are getting slightly younger. And I've seen some, you know, 77-year-olds and whatnot. I've seen some teachers who have been cancer survivors, and I'm not sure if they're getting the dose because they're cancer survivors or because they're in education. Tell us where we're at on the 1D sort of Department of Health guidelines for vaccination, please.
Yeah, so setting aside chronic diseases or medical problems, we are now starting with that 75 years of age and older. So we were previously at 80 years of age and older. And so we've moved down. So we'll be contacting more patients and getting more patients in that 75 to 80 year old age frame for vaccinations. And then you're right, there's kind of this other side of things where we're trying to target some patients that are at higher risk. And so, you know, those are cancer patients, transplant patients, and those that have dialysis going on. And, you know, as we continue to work down, you know, we'll start to focus on those with multiple chronic medical conditions as well. And so it's kind of a little bit of a tier two-prong approach, I guess, to how we're trying to vaccinate people.
Do you predict time frames, or is that really hard to, I guess here's the question I want to ask. President Biden said that he was going to increase the transparency for how many doses states would get, say, 3 weeks out instead of a week out. Has that happened, and is that changing how you plan if it has happened?
Yeah, there's still a lot of factors there. And so when I communicate for my patients in particular, I kind of look at, you know, what's their age, what are their medical problems that they have, and I try to give them a ballpark and base it off of, you know, this is what we know now. But we also know that some of the retail pharmacies are going to start to provide vaccinations soon. We're going to have Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which we anticipate will be available sometime in early to mid-March. And so, and then we don't know how high to and to what degree Pfizer and Moderna are going to be able to ramp up their production. There is more clarity coming from the government as far as what we can expect 2, 3, 4 weeks down the road. But if they can continue to ramp up those numbers, that's going to be more beneficial. So a lot of factors, a lot of variables, but you know, I try to at least give some type of idea to my patients when I'm talking to them to kind of give them a ballpark of when they could expect a phone call or email from Avera.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We are talking now with Dr. Chad Turi from Avera about COVID-19. And Dr. Turi, apologize for that interruption. We were just talking about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And the question I was trying to ask you, I'm not sure if you heard it or not, was this is really taking the same amount of time that it took the FDA to look at all the data and the research from Pfizer and all the data and research from Moderna. It seems like we've been waiting a long time for Johnson & Johnson, but really it's no different than the approval process. Tell us a little bit about that approval process and what the FDA is looking for as they go through these mountains of data.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the process for any pharmaceutical company that's producing these vaccines is going to be the same. They got to go through the same types of trials that other ones do. And so it's just, you know, they're on a different timeline for whatever reason that may be as far as getting to this point where it gets reviewed by the FDA. And so, you know, with the FDA, there's a couple processes that need to go through. So one is it goes to advisory committee for vaccinations, and they're the ones that ultimately make the recommendation for here's who is eligible for the vaccine, between what ages would be available, and if there's any kind of restrictions on maybe who can't get it. And so the same thing happened with Pfizer and Moderna. And then after those recommendations come through, then the FDA has to grant that emergency use authorization in order for those vaccines to then get out to systems and in the market for administration.
All right. Tell us a little bit about any other vaccine myths that you're hearing, anything else that you want to kind of clear up about, especially the variants that we're hearing about and how rapidly those COVID-19 variants or those SARS-CoV-2 variants can spread.
Yeah, so I think, you know, we watch the variants that are out there and not only how that impacts perhaps vaccinations, but also what does prior infection with the initial strains of COVID mean for some of these other variants that are out there. So, you know, when you look at like the South African variant, there was just some information that came out as far as the AstraZeneca vaccine maybe not being as effective as some of the other ones. And so they kind of stopped rolling that one out in South Africa because of that concern. So more research needs to be done there. So that's certainly concerning as, you know, if that variant comes this way. Thankfully, there doesn't seem to be as much of a concern as far as the lack of impact, I guess, as far as the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines when it comes to that particular strain. When we look at the Brazil strain, there's some discussion there as far as if you've had previous COVID with the initial strain that kind of circulated through the United States and even down in Brazil, this Brazilian strain now, it doesn't seem to be as much immunity from that. So people are having symptomatic infections, hospitalizations, and so on because of this new Brazilian strain. So when you think about that here in you know, our area, it's kind of that race to vaccinate. So if we can get more people vaccinated before that Brazilian strain starts to get into our area and really take off, that is going to be a big deal there. So so encouraging people, especially at high risk, to get vaccinated when they're able to.
I want to ask you also about flu season and what did we see in South Dakota with the regular influenza vaccine that most of us are used to? Did our efforts to stop COVID-19 also have an impact on that?
Yeah, it's been a tremendous impact on influenza. We have not had much influenza at all so far this year. And to what degree that is associated with a really good match as far as the vaccine versus to what degree it's masking, social distancing, avoiding large gatherings, that type of stuff. Both of them have been probably integral in really negating the influenza season so far. We just got to stick with what we're doing, like I said before. But it certainly is a good thing to not have hospitals packed with influenza patients and COVID patients at the same time.
One of the things that this is just my non-medical hypothesis, but how many of us really stayed home when we were sick before? Just that behavior change alone, just stay home if you have symptoms, you know, anecdotally has to be something that a lot of people did for the first time. We like to go to work anyway and work through it in South Dakota. Have we learned not to do that? Have we learned a little how to do this a little bit better, do you think?
I think so, and I think there's probably going to be a lot of learning that comes out of the COVID pandemic. Going back to that point, you know, if you're sick, just stay home so you don't infect other people and spread these infectious diseases. I think the other thing is that, you know, masks are effective in preventing COVID, and they're also effective in preventing influenza. And so I think, you know, mask wearing, especially during cold and flu season, is probably going to be around for a number of people going forward.
Yeah. And also they keep your face warm when it's a minus eight. I was wearing my mask walking into the grocery store and I thought, well, I'm going to keep this, file this for future South Dakota use.
Exactly.
Dr. Chad Turry, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
No problem. You have a great day.